Hear now the word of the Lord from Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And also this morning, our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." And then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord." So the word of the Lord for us this morning. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. I always get excited when I read that passage or preach on it. There's a certain hope that's communicated in that passage. The possibilities when God is in the equation. I tried to get us to sing "Them Bones," if you know that song. "Them bones, them bones, them dry bones." But upon advice, I thought we'd need a little more time to work on that song. After reading our Bible passage this week, I was reminded of a TV show called, of all things, Bones. Now in its sixth season of airing, this show, TV show, brings together forensic archaeology along with forensic anthropology. The characters of the TV show, they investigate these skeletal remains that are found often in the ground. And they try to piece together their story. Who were they? Where did they come from? How did they die? What happened? Who did it? Well, in our passage, Ezekiel, in one of his visions, he finds himself in a valley full of bones. And he gets this thorough tour of the valley by the Spirit of the Lord. And he's asked a question that the characters on Bones, the TV show, would never dare to ask. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Everyone knows the answer is no. When you run across skeletal remains in the ground, the idea that these bones would come back to life is a hopeless and a silly idea. Sadly to say, in our modern era, in our enlightened times, in our evolved growth as humans over time, we too have seen valleys of bones in our own experience, in our own times. From the furnaces of Auschwitz to the ditches of Kosovo, from the killing fields of Cambodia to the bloody plains of Rwanda to the mass Kurdish graves in Iraq, we've seen valleys, Death Valley too. We know what Ezekiel saw. We know what that sort of mass carnage looks like. So maybe we've seen those images in our day too. So when the question is asked, can these bones live? The answer is, of course not. At least that's the answer from a human perspective. Modern medicine and technology may be able to bring a corpse back to some sort of life for a certain amount of time. But we're talking about bones here, skeletons. And they're dry bones of all things. And dry bones are not so much under the care of medical doctors as they are under the study of anthropologists and archaeologists and paleontologists. So this morning we'll do some investigating and ask ourselves, to whom did these bones of Ezekiel belong? What happened to them? How did they die? We'll try to piece together the story, and we'll try to ask the silly question, can these bones live? Now the prophet was living during a time when the people of God were living in their own valley of the shadow of death. They were living in this valley of exile. Israel is found under God's judgment, under his wrath, because of their own sin and rebellion. They're cut off from God. Jerusalem destroyed, the temple of God no more. The nation of Israel, the grand nation of Israel, not so grand anymore. So in this vision from the Lord, Ezekiel finds himself in the middle of this valley. The valley is filled with these human skeletal remains. Skeletons, not corpses. The Spirit of the Lord set Ezekiel in the middle of this valley, and the Spirit led him back and forth, it says, through this valley. And those bones were very dry, he says in verse 2. In other words, these aren't just corpses of recently fallen soldiers. Them bones are very dry. They had been baking in the sun for a while. The people were as dead can be. So he did his thorough inspection of this valley as the Lord made him wade through these bones, and he walked upon the thigh bones, the leg bones, the ankle bones, the toe bones, the skulls, and indeed they were very dry, he says. And the Lord asks him, Son of man, can these bones live? What do you think, Ezekiel? Can these bones come back to life? Ezekiel knows that the Lord is sovereign, but he stops himself from saying, giving a resounding yes. All things are possible with you, Lord. Can these bones live? Well, no, maybe Ezekiel thinks, but God's certainly able to do it. The real question is, will these bones live? Is it God's will that these bones live? So Ezekiel gives the safe answer, O sovereign Lord, only you know. Now some people have had their near-death experiences where they've been brought back to life to tell a tale of what the afterlife was like. There's a popular book out there right now called 90 Minutes in Heaven, A True Story of Death and Life by John Piper, and maybe a number of you have read that book. He was a Baptist minister involved in a car accident with a semi-truck. He was pronounced dead on the scene, and the next 90 minutes describes in the book what it was like in heaven. For whatever reason, God allowed him to return to tell and eventually write about the story of what it was like for him in heaven. And there have been many people who have had these near-death experiences, where they've seen a light, walked through a tunnel, or met a relative, or something like that. But Israel didn't have a near-death experience. Israel had a total death experience. It doesn't take a licensed, educated medical examiner to declare the death here. The bones in the valley were very dry. And the question God asks Ezekiel is the same question a lot of people have today. Is there life after death? Is it even possible? Can these bones live again, the bones in the cemetery? Is there hope for old dry bones? Or can my soul live again, soar again? Over the years, this vision of Ezekiel has become one of the most popular of his visions. A lot of people are familiar with it. In fact, there are other prophets too, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and others who declared to God's people something. And what they really wanted to get across to God's people is that God is not undone by some of the evil and horrible things that happen on this earth. God is not undone. God is still God. God still reigns. He's still in control, even when the earth's tectonic plates shift. God is still sovereign and in control when so many people in the world seem so out of control. Furthermore, God doesn't ask Ezekiel if bones in general can live. Son of man, he says, can these bones live? It's very specific. Can Israel, spiritually dead, living in exile, hopeless and helpless, can them bones live again? God then interprets the vision for us, making it easy for us. In verse 11, he says, "And then he said to me, Son of man, can these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off." God's people know what it's like to be separated from God due to their own sin and rebellion. In fact, sin causes us to distance ourselves from God and from each other. So for Israel, all seems hopeless. There's nothing they can do to pull themselves up and to put themselves back into a right standing with God. They're dead as dry bones, and they know it. There's nothing they can do. Can these bones live? Will these bones live? As we look back at the prophecy and the vision of Ezekiel, we see God's response to these helpless and hopeless dry bones in the valley. God said to Ezekiel in verse 4, "I want you to preach to them. I want you to preach a sermon in a cemetery. Preach to these dry bones in the valley. Prophesy to them and say, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Not all of these idols that you've been worshiping all these years, you'll know that I am the Lord." So Ezekiel did as he's commanded to do. He did the word. And then he heard a noise. And it was a rattling sound. And the bones started to snap together again. Tendons and flesh started to appear on the bones. And they were covered with skin. But there was no breath in them. So God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy again, verse 9. "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live." So Ezekiel did as he was commanded to do. He did the word. And the Bible says breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Breath is a key word in our passage, used at least 10 times in this short 14 verses. Breath entered them. They came to life. They stood on their feet. A vast army. Can these bones live? Will them bones live? Yes, it is God's will to breathe new life into his people. when his people were nothing but very dry, dead bones lying in a valley, helpless and hopeless, God said that he would make them come to life again. God continues speaking in verse 12, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord and that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. I love this passage. There's a dangerous hope in this passage. The possibilities when God is in the equation. There's nothing the nation of Israel, those dead, very dry bones in the valley, could do. They were lost in their transgressions and sins, spiritually dead, a lost cause. The only remedy was God himself to intervene and to breathe new life into them, for God to pour his spirit into them. No personal decision was possible. No walking down the aisle was possible. No amount of money in the offering plate, no perfect church or Sunday school attendance made any difference. There was nothing they could do to bring themselves back to spiritual life. So the Lord miraculously intervenes. Did you hear the I statements in this passage? I need to emphasize that again. The Lord says, I will make breath enter you. I will attach tendons. I am going to open your graves. I will bring you back. I will put my spirit in you. The subject, the primary actor, the initiator is always God. And that's so clear in this passage. From the beginning, God has been saving and has been breathing life into his people. From Adam to Abraham to David to the time of Ezekiel to the birth, life, suffering, death, and resurrection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. To the Holy Spirit-filled church, God has been mission-focused to seek and to save the lost, the sinner, the broken, the confused, and yes, the spiritually dead. God has been breathing life into people. Is life after death possible? Is life after spiritual death possible? You know, it pains me to hear people speak of their loved one or a friend or coworker or client and say that so-and-so is a lost cause. They've already relegated the person to the valley of dry bones. So-and-so is a lost cause. He or she will never change. Well, I believe maybe God this morning wants to ask you, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, coworker, friend, can those bones live again? Can those bones live? Is there any hope with God in the equation? Is there any hope for your lost cause? Ezekiel's vision was just that. It was a vision of Israel. Israel was alive, yet she was spiritually dead. She was the walking dead. But do you know that the Bible says that's the same for all of us? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were dead, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So we too were under God's curse, under his judgment, because of our sins, and of course the original sin of Adam. The condition of the human race is spiritual death apart from God's miraculous intervention into our lives. So I guess we were all lost causes. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away and have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And he continues to say that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So the human condition is not naturally or basically good as some people would have it today. And it's not getting better with time and education. The human race isn't evolving into an enlightened moral race because of the laws of nature or the mechanics of the evolutionary process. Spiritually speaking, the human race lies in the valley of death, the valley of dry bones. Nothing that we can do on our own to pull ourselves up again. Now, I was driving behind a car this week, and it was a black car. It was interesting. It was a license plate in bold letters. It read, "Despair." Despair. At first, I thought maybe I was driving behind someone from a metal band called Despair or something like that. Maybe it was. Or maybe he was coming from a discussion held in Big Rapids last week called Defining Human Existence. These two things sort of happened at the same time. I heard about this meeting called Defining Human Existence and that driving behind this car with a license plate, Despair. These two things reminded me of where the human race is without God, without the hope of Jesus Christ, in despair and asking themselves, why do we exist? Why am I here? What's the point? What's the purpose? What's the purpose of my life if I'm just another carbon unit stuck on this rock whizzing through the solar system? But praise be to God that He doesn't leave us in our sin and transgressions. He doesn't leave us dead. Can these bones live? Humanly speaking, no, they cannot. But with God, all things are possible, even for our lost causes in our lives. Even if we consider ourselves a lost cause, all things are possible with God. And so it was, the God of the universe became human. He suffered, He died, and He rose again. Even in the midst of chaos, catastrophes, and out-of-control people, God is not undone, and neither are we. If we put our hope in His Son, Jesus Christ, who demonstrated that life after death is possible, who showed us that resurrection is real. And that's our Easter hope for our so-called lost causes. For our adult children who never darken the doorway of a church anymore. For our siblings who have rejected God altogether. Or our co-workers who are caught up into a sinful lifestyle. The hope is not in what they can do. The hope is not in what we can do to save them. Our hope is not in what the church can do with a new program. Our hope is in God through Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for us and for humanity. And what Christ can do in the lives of people. Our hope is for the infusion of the Spirit of God, the breath of God into a person's life that results in a new life, a renewed sense of purpose and reason for existence, why I'm here. Jesus laid in that valley of dry bones. He took upon Himself the punishment and death that we deserved. And God raised Him from the dead. Satan and evil did their worst, but their worst was no match for God. What Ezekiel saw in a vision is now reality in Christ. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? God of resurrection, we put our hope in You today. Forgive us for the times when our hope has been misplaced, whether in other people or organizations or political parties or material possessions. For those in despair this morning, we pray. For those who know hope in their heads, yet have the hardest time feeling hope in their hearts, we pray. We pray that you, Sovereign Lord, would breathe the breath of spiritual life into all of us this morning as we refocus our faith and our lives on you, our living God. And as we look forward to Easter, we pray that an Easter hope would be welling up within us to the point it overflows to the world around us. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.